study these samples with the BLVA, compare the Parsec scale radio jet properties with the gamma emission properties. In doing so, learn something about meaning in different regimes and in different laser classes. Okay, so let's get right to the sample. Within the region of sky that's acceptable to the BLVA above deck minus 30, we admitted the ecliptic plane where the lattice associations can be problematic. And what we were after was basically on the order of 100 gamma rays selected and 100 radios selected. And so that basically limited our gamma ray flux cutoff to 3.7 minus 11 hertz per second per centimeter squared, which is this horizontal line right here. And at this high flux, the associations aren't that problematic. They're very high confidence. The error circles are small. And we're also past that region where there's a bias on spectral hardness. As you move to fainter gamma ray fluxes, the lattice preferentially picks up these harder sources. We're well above that cutoff. And so we're quite complete in gamma ray. And in fact, there's only one source which is missing over here, which didn't have a radio association. So all of these have radio associations, all of the gamma associations with AGN. As far as our radio selection went, we picked every source which was exceeded 1/2 chance of these BLVA flux density at 15 gigahertz during that 1 lakh time period, the first 7 months of the perfect condition. So we aimed for 100 in each. If there's an overlapping region, there was 48 in both. So we have 173 AGN in total. And these are primarily blazars, PLX and quasars. Couple of radio galaxies, but five. Okay, so one of the first things we did was look at the redshift distribution. So a fundamental interest is to say, well, are the gamma ray selected blazars being selected differently? That's from a different population than the radio selected one. So if you look at that, the main difference that you can see is in the first redshift bin here, 0.25 or 0.5 redshift bin. And the gamma ray selected samples are picking up this additional subpopulation of the low redshift and the high spectral peak BLX. I'm going to show some evidence that these are being picked not necessarily because of the DD properties, but the fact that they're intrinsically very bright in gamma rays, primarily due to the fact that they're high spectral peak. If you look at the distribution of the quasars, which is in the outer line here is the total sample, and the blue is the BLX, you can subtract off the BLX. The quasar redshift distributions are virtually identical. KS test should make it to all of them. And so in terms of the flat of the radio population, we're picking the same one, both gamma ray and radio. Okay, so if you plot luminosity in gamma ray versus radio, see a correlation here. I'm not going to go into that too much in detail. But what I will talk about is gamma ray loudness, which defines the ratio of gamma ray to 15 gigahertz BLVA radio luminosity. And that's how far away you are on this 1-to-1 ratio line. The sources further away here are more gamma ray loud. The orange sources are the HSP BLX, and they all have high gamma ray loudness due to where their SUV is peaked. I'll talk a little more about that in a minute. The non-detected AGNs are these upper limits here. You can see they're clustered at low gamma ray loudness. That's a selection effect because we're missing that region of the plane which has radio weak gamma ray sources. So that's a bit of a selection effect, that clustering. But the one thing you notice here is that we are spanning the full possible range of gamma ray loudness. We've got every source above 1/2 chance, every source above that 3.711. And so we've got a 4 order of magnitude range of gamma ray loudness in this survey. That comes into play, you can see, but the correlation. So here's a slide I stole from Gino at the last Fermi meeting. I should say, some royalties. A really nice summary of what goes on with the SEDs and as far as the lab properties go. Okay, so if we start out with a low synchrotron peaked source, perhaps a flat and radio quasar, these two peaks track each other. The IC, the high energy peak, tracks with the synchrotron peak. And so in most cases, the peak is below the lat band, and so you get a soft gamma ray spectrum. As you move up to from LBL or LSP to ISP to HSP, both peaks track to the right, and you start changing what the spectral hardness is. So there's been good correlation between what goes on spectral hardness and what the peak is. know, there's no HST left in the marine acquired ours, which shows up in your camera emission problem. So in this study, we have fixed passband. We have a fixed passband of the radio and a fixed passband of the gamma ray. So if you take a plot of the radio quasar here, and you look at the ratio then of gamma ray radio flux, this is our gamma ray loudness parameter, you can see what happens if you go from the low spectral peak to a high spectral peak. The radio flux drops. Okay, the gamma ray flux would stay the same, really kind of depending on the source, but you tend to have a larger ratio of these ones, which are even higher. And so we can look at this effect on the radio flux. So this is now the synchrotron peak location, the synchrotron peak frequency in Hertz, versus the reflectance that we get from the LVA, in the gigahertz. The open circles here are quasars, the filled ones are VLX. So the least correlation for VLX, no correlation at all for the quasars. And it's just what you would expect with VLX. As this SED peak tracks the higher frequencies, the radio flux drops. Now, what about gamma ray loudness? Well, the same effect, but again, only for VLX. You're going to see the SED peak frequency up, you get higher gamma ray loudness, no trend at all for the quasar. And finally, remember, we also have this effect with the spectral hardness. You might expect spectral hardness to be also related to gamma ray loudness. And this is what we get. Again, the circles are quasars, no correlation at all. Now we've got the VLX, it's filled circles. And you can see we're spanning quite a large range of gamma ray loudness here, three orders of magnitude at least, and a pretty good correlation. Got one outlier down here. Oops. If we look at the VLX only, as far as blazar correlations go, it's pretty darn good. That's it. Only 0.3 decks of scatter here. And this is basically the crux of this paper. This journal paper came out last week in FJ. I was hoping this would generate some discussion in this workshop, because I think it says a lot about what the SED shapes are in these VLX optics. For one thing, this photon spectral index is being correlated with the position of the complex location. But we found that last year. And you have to ask yourself, is this trend, should this trend exist if the gamma ray emission is fully independent of the radio jet emission? I would argue that you should not expect this trend if this is the case. But this is related to the question of the SED model. It could be the high energy spike, there's complicated, be separate from radio emission. Imagine you had a population where you're doing that for, where you didn't really care what the radio flux was, whether it's your SED model or not. Would you expect this correlation? I think probably you would. This is saying something that the high energy peak is directly related to the parsec scale radio emission, but only again, only for VLX. Interesting paper by Giomi et al. Recently, they took a sample of VLX, found they had lower average common dominance. So the common dominance is the ratio of the luminosity of the synchrotron peak, sorry, the high energy peak and synchrotron. And so imagine those two bumps in the SED, there's less of a range of that ratio of VLX. Quasars, and that's just what you need to get this type of correlation. Another interesting fact to notice here is that the trend is continuous from the high spectral peak to the low spectral peak VLX. And some people argue that the path, maybe these are different populations. This does not argue for that. This argues that they actually are similar populations. It's just related by where the peak is. Again, that's interesting. Well, we looked at the brightness temperatures before, the LVI brightness temperatures, called compactness. And down in here, this is radio compactness on the y-axis, and this is SED peak. You can see all of the HSP objects here are fairly low radio compactness. Again, no trend at all for the quasars. And this particular quantity here, the brightness temperature, has been shown to be correlated with relativistic heating. So at face value, this particular trend would argue that these probably have lower Doppler factors. study in progress by Tartakovsky and the Hobie group, showing that as you go up to higher signal frequencies, you get a tendency to lower the delta size. It's what the variability model. Okay, so with this study, we found that a VLX, but again, not the pleasant main quasar, displays several trends. And we've got gamma ray loudness positively correlated with the synchron peak emission. And we've got parsec scale radio emission definitely correlated with where the higher energy density is. So a real connection here between the higher energy regime and the parsec scale peak. In the radio, if you just look at the properties of these high VLX, they don't show high compactness. They don't show high variability. Saw the slide earlier on that. They don't show high corlinear polarization, and they don't show high signal speeds. We're still in the process of measuring some of those speeds, but so far the work of Hyman Edwards and others showing that these things don't have these high signal flaws. You might expect from a highly beam source. In my opinion, the radio gamma ray correlations in the plasma to radio quasars aren't there because they have a wide range of confidence values. If you think about what you might expect for the two different peaks, the behavior under the SSC model, which is the external Compton model, the external Compton model has an extra Doppler boost because, in fact, there's an extra lens transformation from the external photons to the electrons in the jet. So as a result, for a given Doppler factor, you get a bigger boost in the gamma ray than you do in radio. And so if you imagine a population with a variety of Doppler factors, you get a larger range of Compton dominance expected, which if CS is dominant. So a different range of Compton dominance suggests that those two peaks, the lower energy synchron peak and the inverse Compton peak, can vary independently. So that destroys any correlation you might expect. SSC, both peaks kind of moving in simultaneously as we feed the source, and so that favors these trends that you see up here. So this type of trends suggests that you have a limited range of SED shape and confidence within that bright VLF population. Again, this is only the top 100 gamma ray sources. Well, this extends down to lower luminosity VLX, we don't know yet. And what we'd like to do next is, instead of using a fixed passband, actually be able to fit where the sun is going to get the precise values on the DOM to check the continued correlation. Good.
Yeah, I mean, the difficulty here is the observations. We don't have good enough SED yet to get those S-concrete luminosities. Studies that have been done so far have estimated by one way or another using this spectral slope or making some assumption about the continuity of the SED shape, whether it's parabolic or not. The advantage of using the fixed passband is you can get a pretty precise numbers there, right? You've got the flux and it's a definite quantity. I agree, physically, it's much better to use the actual peak luminosity. Reality is that. And certainly in the synchrotron peak, a lot of that lies in the infrared, where you've got post-galaxy contamination. And then the high energy can be outside the left half band in most cases. So we need better SEDs to do that, or better estimates from the existing SED data that we have. As I said, that's the next step.
So we can get our
I know. I've thought really hard about how, what sort of conspiracy you can get to get that nice linear combination, that correlation. And I still haven't come up with a good way of doing it. I'm really open to suggestions.
I had the wrong mic on. Oh. Six now, I think.
Okay. Thank you again, Matt. Thank you for setting a good example for the rest of the week. Keeping on time. Helviki Hovater is going to talk about the priority rotations. Well, I'll be waiting for you, sir.